Welcome to the Rock Life Podcast. Here we are for another wonderful episode. My name is Antonio. I am here with none other than my friend Aaron, aka Pastor Aroncito.
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 Mi amigo.
Mi amigo. How are you, my brother?
I'm doing great.
Man, I always have a great time hanging out with you on the pod. That sounds pod. Different to say. I don't reference it like that.
Hey, that was the first time I think I've ever heard you say that.
Yeah, on the pod.
But the pod has a new look, and it's looking really good.
Yeah, what do you think?
I think it looks great. If you can't see this and you're only watching this on audio, we have a whole new look. And it feels nice and welcoming and inviting and warm.
Yeah, so. I think so too. I think today's episode is going to be just that as well, welcoming, inviting, and warm. We're going to be talking about something that's probably near and dear to you, even though you might not see it as that. But there's, you know, we are in May. Well, it's okay to date this. It is May time. And I heard this recently. I talked about it earlier with our staff. This is a newer term that I've heard, but I don't know if you've heard of it or
first
something.
Time I heard it when you said it earlier.
May-cember, and it's the idea that, you know, how December has its own, you know, the holidays and its own rush.
Sure,
well, May is kind of starting that in the middle of the year now because of all the graduations and the season that it is. I know
weddings and
sports seasons are kind of coming down to an end, and you're getting ready for summertime.
Yeah.
And vacation plans and wedding season is starting and travel and all these other things. It's, what is it called? It's a prom.
Oh,
it is teachers' appreciation. Jeez. It is, you know, some of these things have their own expenses.
Right.
Some of these things have their own time consumption or time commitment levels.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting to see how our year is broken down as a culture.
Yeah.
Right. And what that means for us. And then the topic that we want to touch on today is this term called consistency.
Mm.
Now, that term to me, I'm no master of consistency, but what I have found is that the more consistent that I can be in anything, the better off I am in that area.
Absolutely.
Which obviously sounds like a duh moment, but I'd like to equate that to our life in our families, in our jobs, but specifically in our faith walk with Jesus. Now, I do think of you as someone who's overall a very consistent person in that you have been someone who's faithfully going after Jesus. I don't know all your hobbies or anything like that, if you're consistent with those or dieting or anything like that, but I do know that when it comes to following Jesus, you have been consistent. Now, let's define consistent. What do you think consistency means as a whole, specifically, again, in the walk with Jesus? Because I have some thoughts on that, but I want to hear yours.
Yeah, I wish we could pull up a dictionary and figure out what does consistency even say or mean. Right. But I think a couple things that come to mind is showing up when you don't want to or no one else does. I think it looks like, being faithful. So it's like every morning, just do what you got to do. I mean, if we're talking faith walk, then every morning, let me get into this discipline of showing up and reading my Bible or verse of the day, something to just get something going and turning. And then, what else? Consistency looks like, keeping it in the staying in for the long haul, even when you get tired of doing the thing that you've been called to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's being consistent. So and it applies to anything, marriages, family and work and walk with Jesus. And so, those are a couple things that come off the top of my head. But what about you?
Well, now that you said that, I mean, you said, I wish we could look it up. Well, guess what? We
have look it up.
All the information at the tip of our fingers.
There it is.
But consistent is something acting in a steady, regular, or harmonious way without variation or contradiction.
Harmonious.
And that's the definition, like probably Webster, right?
Yeah.
But when I think of consistency, I maybe have a little bit more gracious, a more gracious approach, because while there might be some, again, steadiness doesn't mean no variation.
Right.
Even though the definition is without variation. But to me, you're consistently moving forward.
Yeah.
Right now. So the variation I mean in that way might be the variation in pace.
Sure.
Right. So, hey, I'm moving forward.
Yeah.
Or at least there's a lean. So even if I've come to a halt because I've had something that happened, I'm discouraged, I'm frustrated, I'm at least stopped, but I'm leaning forward, right? Like, you're not going to hunch me lane, but like, I'm not going to retreat. I will be consistent at least moving forward, even if there's a time. Like, so when I think about consistency in our walk with God, to me, some of it starts with our mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're going to go after God.
Yeah.
And God is with us step by step in our journey. We talked about this in our episode last week with Pastor Brian, kind of this faith journey, this faith walk. What does this mean? What does that look like? Want to invite and encourage anyone to check out that podcast. Wow, even a call back to the previous. It's an episode of first. 111, today. It's an episode of first. But when we are going to be consistent, or you're making a decision that I'm not going to retreat, so I'm going to go forward. Some days I'm going to run. Some days I feel good. Some days I'm full of faith. Went to a conference, had an encounter at a special service. Maybe you got a word, or again, just a special moment in time. You know, you read a scripture that kind of just lit you up, and you're running.
Yeah,
you're at a fast pace, and then you maybe go through a season of a disappointment or a discouragement, and you found yourself frustrated, and now you're not in the word like maybe you'd like to be. But I don't think you'll lose consistency if you are at least still determined to move forward.
That's good, Pastor. Yeah.
Right. So when I say consistent, I mean like you're going to find me in a year and nothing's going to get me off of I'm moving forward with God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. Does it mean, you know, like, hey, man, I haven't seen you in church 5 times a week. It's been, you know, I'm in a different season. Something's happened, or I'm fighting it. You know, I'm going through it. You ever ask somebody that, hey, how's it going?
Yeah.
Sometimes they might give you the very churchy, hey, I'm blessed. I'm highly favored. I'm all good. Man, life is good. Life is great. Sometimes people will be like, man, I'm going through it.
Right.
Right. But going through it doesn't mean I'm stopped.
That's good. Yeah.
So I want to make sure that I'm going to be consistently in my mind. I'm approaching each day as I gotta move this ball forward.
Yeah.
I gotta make sure that this is a journey with the Lord, and we're moving forward. We're not retreating. We're not going backwards. We're gonna lean into this.
Yeah.
And we're gonna get something done.
That's good. I think about two things. And this is kind of some of my thought processes past year, not just only year, but just in general, about being consistent and being constant.
Mm.
And I think there's a difference there, because sometimes we think consistency looks like being constant all the time,
mm-hmm.
if that's the right word for that. But I just think about, you know, for example, our walk with God. There's times, in transparency, I am not praying, and I didn't read the Bible today, and I didn't whatever, you know, that you would think are fundamentals, and which they are. But one of the things that even I'm learning right now is how to pace life. Because our lives are very busy, and so is you listening and watching. Your life is very busy as well. So get in these rhythms. But just because maybe I'm not doing this constantly, like every single moment of every single day or every single day of every single week, but yet if I'm showing up consistently, if I'm mm-hmm. being disciplined enough to say, hey, I need to get in this rhythm of still doing what I know I need to do, even if it doesn't look like every day. And one of the things I told you earlier this year, I started going to the gym this year, really like pushing iron.
Yeah.
I said, I'm telling Pastor Tony, I just need my biceps to look like yours, and we'll be good, you know? This guy has some sizes.
Get out of here.
But it's only been like 4 months now, I think. And I don't go constantly. Some of these guys are hitting the gym 5-6 days a week. And praise God, what an incredible feat. I'm like 3-4 days right now, you know?
Yeah, no, that's
so
good.
Like just showing up. I was here this morning, and it was one of those things where it's like, all right, here we are again, you know, just doing what we got to do here. And I was actually did some weights in the morning, the first, you know, doing that. And then I ended with some treadmill stuff. And then I was like, oh, like, I try to do the 30 minutes, right? Like mm-hmm. at least on the treadmill, hit 30 minutes, incline, all that good stuff. And I was like, man, like, all right, I don't want to do this right now. Like, my last time on the treadmill, I stopped at 16 minutes. I was like, you know what? I'm done. That's good.
Yeah.
I was like, I got to hit 30 today.
Yeah.
And then someone came alongside of me, and they just started going for it. And I was like, okay, now, like, this is good. Like, being around someone who also had consistency to show up and to keep doing what they know they're supposed to do put me in this rhythm of saying, you know what? I want to continue to do what I'm putting my mind to do right now. I think the same thing with life and God is like, you know, I think there's an importance about being consistent, of course, with God and whatever's in front of you. But at the same time, surround yourself around people who are consistent as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's been said like, right, like you are a product of the 5 people you hang around with most. And I think it's really vital that, you know, that's why the ecclesia and the church is so important. That sure, maybe there's some things, there's finals this week, or mm-hmm. there's things that came up with the kids' schedule for sports, and there's CIF, whatever the case may be, right? Or your business, you know, went over one night, you can't get to work, but or to church. But the thing is, hey, am I making a discipline? And I think that's like the huge thing. It's like, you know, God's not looking for your perfection. He's looking for your progress. Like your willingness to say, hey, I want to get better.
Yeah.
I want to show up when it's hard. I want to be able to be someone who I can look back at the end of my life and say, you know what? I was everything that God had called me to be. I was the husband, the father, the student, the mom, the dad, the sister, whoever, whatever your role is, the employee, the employer, like you can look back and say, I did what God asked me to do because I was consistent. And that's what gets like the reward, you know? It's like showing up when maybe you don't want to.
No, that's good. You know, something you said made me think of, let's bring up some of the inhibitors or the challenges that might stop someone from being consistent. You know, I think of the passage that says, let's not be weary in doing good.
That's good.
Right? So there's a weariness that can come over.
Yeah.
Even in other words, we feel like, man, I've been making this effort, I've been doing it good, and not seeing results would be discouraging. Sure. Or not having the results that you wanted, or man, and then this is where comparison can really be a thief, because we'll look on social media and we'll see, hey, this person got saved at the same time as me, we got baptized the same day, or we've been going with God at the same time, and they've been getting all, man, everything that I've prayed for, they got. They got the relationship, the job, the promotion, whatever it might be that we've been believing for, and maybe hasn't come to fruition yet. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves discouraged and weary. And that's where that passage, it's in Galatians
6:9.
It just so powerful, because it's like, you know what? The weariness comes from it not being on our expectation.
That's good.
So, but if we're doing good, God is going to work it out, right? He's working those things out for the good of those who love him.
Yep.
And man, we're taking it step by step. We're going to continue to do the assignment, and we know that God is going to do his part.
That's so good.
But we can't let up on doing our part.
Yeah. Galatians is an incredible passage, because it says, do not grow weary in doing good, for in due season or due time, you will reap a harvest.
Yeah.
And people are like, but finish that. You'll reap a harvest. It's like, wait, hold on. It continues. If you do not give up.
Yes.
And there's like that call to say, hey, don't give up. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you got to, it's like what Timothy and Paul, right? It's like, fan into flame the gifts of God within you.
Yes.
And I've been kind of in that vein recently. It's like, I got to be reminded of all that God is, all that he's done, all that he's doing, all that he's promised, and like fight for that. And sometimes I think faith is a fight, you know, it's like fighting that good fight of faith when we don't feel like it, when we don't want to, when there is no results, when you don't see what you thought you would see. Mm-hmm. But it's like, no, you know what? Like, I'm gonna hold fast to my conviction that God is good, that he's with me, that no matter what, that as long as I do my part, God is faithful to do his part.
Yeah.
And it's kind of what Pastor Dan's been saying, like in our Sunday morning services, is that obedience is success. And even if the obedience might look different than what you thought the outcome would be.
Yeah.
But if you're being obedient to what God called you to do, then man, like that's it right there. That's the very place where now you can get your joy back, because you're no longer in comparison. You're in compliance with what God's asking you to do. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where sometimes we can easily get distracted. It's like, I'm in comparison to X, Y, and Z, or whoever that person may be that's running this race with me. But it's like, you know what? Like, all right, I need to repent. Holy Spirit, forgive me for doing this whole comparison thing. That's not a fruit of the Spirit.
Right.
But now I can say, okay, God, give me the fruit of the Spirit, which is joy, right? Yeah. And peace and all the other 9 gifts. So I think, just to encourage you guys, like, keep going. Sometimes it's trudging momentum.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, again, we can psych ourselves out if we presume or think that we've painted the way that it's going to be, right? I mean, we're an hour east of Hollywood. Yeah. We have the Hollywood ending. We have we know the montage. We see it's going to be there. You know, you mentioned fruit.
Yeah.
And it makes me think of the Bible describes God as the Lord of the harvest. Which means he's the one who brings the harvest.
Yeah.
Our job is to plant the seed.
Right.
Right. Our in faith, we plant the seed, and the seed has to go in the ground and die.
Yeah.
But the Lord of the harvest is the one who is going to determine the fruit that comes out of that. So as we plant our seed, the fruit that comes out of that, that's the Lord's responsibility. Mm-hmm. He's the Lord of the harvest. We can't manufacture it. We can't make it happen, but we continue to do our job. We sow. There's seed time and harvest, right? Mm-hmm. We plant the seed. We allow time to go. And then God, the Lord of the harvest, is the one who will bring it to fruition. And we don't want the fruit that maybe we would manufacture on our own.
Yeah.
No one wants fake fruit.
Yep.
No one wants manufactured fruit. No one wants the generic. We want all that God has for us. And that's going to be, happens when we're consistent in our approach to life. There are certain, of course, there's disciplines. Of course, there's practices that we can put into our life.
Yeah.
But I would say one of the things for me, maybe because I'm not Mr. Discipline. I'm not Mr. Consistent when it comes to every day, same time, same routine. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But overall, my routine has shown, again, I'm not the guy with no variations, but the graph is going to be trending up over time, right? You know, in our nation, they say overall the stock market, you know, in the end is going to get you gains, right? There will be some fluctuations. There can be crashes. There can be things that happen. Right. It almost makes me wonder in our life if we understand that I want the long term of my life to be gaining over time. There might be some fluctuations. There's going to be challenges that happen. There's going to be times when I've gone down. I haven't been doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm going to struggle.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be consistent and continuing to do and allow God to do his part.
Right.
My part is to show up.
Yep.
My part is to be faithful. My part is to make sure that I put the word in me enough so that when I do feel weary, I have his promise that tells me, don't get weary in doing good.
Yep.
Like, you know what? I don't want to land. I don't want to camp out here. And I think so many times we can camp out in our feelings, right? We, what is it? Our feelings are horrible drivers, right? They're great indicators. They can let us know what's going on, but they're bad decision makers.
Yeah.
We don't make decisions in an emotional moment. Why? Because our emotions, they are so fluctuating. Yeah. They're not the truth.
Right.
They are not, they're not the objective thing that comes in and evaluates the whole scenario and gives us the full picture. It gives you this little glimpse, and that's what our emotion is. It's until we say, oh, this isn't as bad as I thought, right? You imagine an injury. You prick your finger. You do this. Well, right away, you feel the pain. You see blood, and your mind is going like, oh, my gosh, you're going to have to amputate my finger. I was like, okay, wait. Then you wipe it, and like, oh, it's a little scratch. This can be done out with some stitches. You might have a little scar, if anything. And all of a sudden, the blood comes back to your head, and you're able to think. You're like, okay. But if you, in that moment, you're panicking.
Yeah.
So I don't know, Aaron. I just wonder. And maybe here's a question for you. When you have felt discouraged, or when you have found yourself things that have tried to take you away from consistency, what has been able to bring you back?
Yeah. I think one of the first things is remembering why I love Jesus so much.
That's good.
I think that's like, and honestly, as I mentioned a little bit ago, like right now life is so fast paced. So it's very easy for me to not spend time with Jesus.
Yeah.
And transparency, right? Mm-hmm. And those are the things that I had to be my flags go up, not as a bad thing.
Yeah.
But it could become bad if I continue in this vein.
Right.
And so for me, it's like, and, you know, sometimes I just got to remember, like, for example, like the worship song, I'm coming back to the heart of worship where it's all about you, Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I heard this phrase. Actually, I was going through my notes and I saw it again. I don't know where I got it from. It was personal time or a quote from someone, but it says, if Jesus is not everything, then Jesus is nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for me, like when I walk with God, it's like, I can talk to different aspects here, but for this part first, I have to remember, okay, God, I love you so much. At least I forget why I love you and all that all the history we've had together, all the things that we've been able to do together, all the things that you've allowed me to be a part of, God, and the things thank you, Jesus. And just that place of like, okay, now I'm coming back. I was actually just reading Revelations and talks about how Jesus is, you know, really kind of correcting the church. And he's saying, you know, you've done all these things and I've seen how you've, you know, kept these, you know, these ways. But at the same time, this one thing I have against you is you've forgotten your first love. And I think that is the place where we must get back. And I'm speaking for myself, like, not to say that I'm so far out or nothing like that, but just like life's busy. I have to be intentional to spend time with Jesus. And I'm sure that's for you listening as well. But first love is going to be the place where everything flows from. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think that's where we find our joy again. It's like, no, like I love Jesus so much that I don't want to do life without him. Mm-hmm. And like you talked about fake fruit, like God, we need real fruit. We need real, we need the anointing that's for real.
Absolutely.
We don't need a manufactured or fake or fabricated. We need the real deal. And same thing with anything in life. You know, it's like, I think for me, it's like remembering why I started something keeps a vision in front of me.
That's good.
Like, same thing with, like, I keep going back to the gym because it's a newer thing for me, like being really consistent. But for me, it's like, no, I remember I sat down with my trainer. We set these goals. I remember the joy of, like, you know, hitting some new progress goals of, you know, new strength levels and new PRs. And like, okay, I've seen what is possible when I keep my head in the game.
Yeah.
And I think the same thing with consistency. We've seen what is possible, what we can do, what God can do with us, and what he desires to do in our lives if we stick to the game plan.
Yeah, that's
and
good.
The game plan is just pursuing his presence and being found faithful. That's what, I forget the exact scripture, but it says that the Lord looks to, maybe Isaiah, I forget, but looks to and fro the whole earth for who he'll find faithful. And it's like, as God is looking, searching high and low, may he find me right here faithful. May he find you and us watching and us wherever we're at, find us faithful. And that's like, I think it's so important to keep the end result, you know, in mind. I was just actually at, it was Mother's Day. And so it was my first Mother's Day without our grandma, my dad's mom. So we were at the cemetery, you know, and just like, it's a crazy place because it's so busy and there's so many people, you know, visiting their loved ones that have passed on and their moms because it's Mother's Day and whatnot. But I was just looking, it's like, well, something about a cemetery gets perspective in me again, you know, like, and not to be morbid or like, you know, but it's like underneath this grass is so many bodies that lived a life,
right,
that had dreams, that had families, that went to work, that, mm-hmm. and now like the only trace of them other than memories is a plaque on the grass.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh God, like would you, and what I'm saying by that is like, for us, it's so important that at the end of it, when we pass into eternity with the Lord, if we stick with him, endure to the end, that we can look back and say, God, thank you for giving me the honor of being found faithful. It's an honor to be found faithful, you know? And so it's like going back to that drawing board. Okay, God, I know I have these plans, or maybe even for business. Okay, we want to scale this much this year. Okay, well, what put that drive in you at first to say that you can do that?
Yeah.
And go back to that. It's like, hey, like, and I think that's this cool thing with what I'm learning right now. It's like, sometimes you got to get past the feelings, past what you see. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith and say, I have determination and grit in me. We're going full steam ahead because this is what the Lord is asking of us, you know, and that's with anything in life. And that's translates to relationships and finances and faithfulness and, you know, I don't, whatever. So that's some of the things I can think. But what about you? What are some things that you've seen where you, when you don't have that motivation or you don't have that drive in you, how do you get up and say, all right, let's do this again? Because you said earlier, you said, I know in a year I'll also be following Jesus, right? But what are some things that have helped you to push past some things that maybe you felt were a wall facing you in consistency?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think what I've done is, and it's not in my own strength, it's just wisdom from other people and being around other believers that have. So you identify other people who have been consistent over a longer period of time.
That's really good.
And I have put up some indicator lights.
Yeah.
Right. So that, man, it's kind of like your gaslight. You know, your gaslight goes off not when you're all the way empty, when you're approaching empty.
Yeah.
And for me, unfortunately, I often, the light will go off and, oh, I have 60 miles. That's four more trips to work. So right. I just know in the next four trips, I can, you know, I got to do this. Right. And as opposed to not even letting get the light go off is probably what some people do. Or
yeah.
I know some people are like, oh, at half tank, I fill that thing up. I'm not going to risk going off. Or as soon as the light goes off, they're on their way. Yeah, exactly. So I've kind of placed some indicator lights in my life that I know if that, again, because of the longevity of serving God, I know there are some indicators of my attitude, right? Or how I'm responding to people.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh, that was just short. That was just, you know, I've just been angry. And I have to be honest with myself. And I think there's some wisdom and there's some maturity in being able to be honest with yourself about where you're at. You know, we can lie to ourselves. And again, that's another indicator light so that it's not just me. Is there are people in my life that I am around that I trust that know they have a space to tell me something in my life as well.
Right.
So sometimes people don't allow anybody in their life that can be honest or truthful with them.
Mm.
Right. You either have put yourself in a vacuum or you keep yourself at a distance from people. I've been able to be blessed with great relationships that I have trustworthy friends and confidants that I've allowed my walls to come down enough where if I was too short, too blunt, even sometimes there's been things that the indicator light is off, but I'm not seeing it.
Mm.
So there's the redundancies that we build in.
Yeah.
That again, those relationships where I had a brother just the other day, hey, I've noticed this. Have you thought about that? And I know that I can think back and I know that was not an easy conversation for that brother.
Right.
But I was not mad at him. I appreciated him doing that. And it showed me it was actually pretty gratifying and rewarding to know that I have those relationships. And that's so even though my light was going off, it's like the light was on, but the buzzer didn't go off. Well, there was the redundancy in that, but then you also have good relationships.
Yeah.
So there's things that I know in place to answer the question. There's feelings. There's no, you know, there, I opened my journal and I was like, oh man, I haven't journaled in 2 weeks. Mm. Oh man, what's going on here? Let me find, I got to get back in this. I haven't been praying the length of time that I should, or the amount of time that I should.
Right.
I haven't read as much Bible as I wanted. And I can gauge these things, whether it's through, you know, how much you're doing. If you have a physical Bible that you're going through, like, man, I haven't moved that marker, or this Bible is collecting dust, or, hey, I haven't listened to the same podcast that I used to, or, hey, man, I've been, you know, I'm okay with this song or this music. Well, hey, that's all you've been listening to lately. Like, where's your worship music?
Yeah.
So again, some of these honest assessments of the things, again, it's just little doors that in and of themselves are not usually bad things.
Right.
Right. Hey, throw on a whatever, a country song, throw on a whatever, an oldie, oldie but goodie, whatever it might be. But all of a sudden, that's all you're listening to.
Right.
And then you'll find that worship is not a forefront of your life anymore. There's not that, you know, for me, a good indicator is if I wake up with a tune in my head, like it might not even be a bad tune, but it's just like, man, I want to wake up with the joy of the Lord. I want to wake up thanking God. I want to wake up praising Him.
Right.
And so to me, that is one of my indicator lights, a tune, right? To someone else, that might be cheesy and that might be corny. For me, I'm like, oh, shoot, I need to make sure I'm getting more worship than anything else.
That's good. Yeah.
Right. Nothing can be more. Yeah. Right. And I can't watch more TV than I can't consume more secular content or whatever than I am getting the word in me or whatever. Right. So these things for me, I have indicator lights and then I have redundancy switches that, again, will help me, that will go off to know, hey, something's off here.
Yeah.
So whether it's things I know that I've set up with through an app, through reminders, through whatever, and then I have relationships that are the redundancy switches that even if I did want to lie to myself, well, there's people in my life that aren't going to lie to me.
That's good.
And so those are the kind of a fail safe that has helped me. And again, oh, it's easy for you. You work at a church. Well, no, these are relationships that you cultivate outside of just colleagues or church members.
So if someone's looking to say, hey, you know what? I need someone to keep me accountable, to keep me, call me out sometimes on my mess or call me out on maybe they notice something like how you're mentioning. Yeah. What do you say to a person who's looking for that person?
Yeah.
How does that look practically? And then how do you know who to give access to your heart? Because not everyone deserves access.
That's good.
So how do you find that person?
No, I wish there was an easy tomorrow answer.
Sure.
And there usually isn't. Mm. So the Bible says to have friends, you got to be friendly.
Yep.
And friendship takes time work. And it takes investment. Mm-hmm. So you don't usually just meet somebody and say, hey, will you be my accountability partner?
Yeah.
Right, you cultivate a relationship, you cultivate a friendship, and you build trust over time. Mm. So I hope that's not a discouragement, but the first step is like getting in church, or getting in an environment with other believers, and guess what, putting yourself out there,
right,
and then maybe feeling a little bit silly and know, hey, I noticed you sit over there. Hey, what do you got going on?
Yeah,
hey, you want to go to lunch? Whatever it might be, like risk being silly.
Yeah.
Right. For the ladies, there's always something going on. The men, there's a men's breakfast coming up.
Right.
You know, sit by somebody, get to know them.
Yeah.
Whatever it might be. If you're a married man, like find another brother and just get to know them and ask for discernment. Is this the right person? You know, again, because you don't open up your whole life to everybody.
Correct.
But there's risk involved, right? There's risk involved. I mean, have I been burned? I haven't experienced like a level of betrayal that some people have talked to. I've had disappointments in friendships and relationships. Mm-hmm. But overall, I've been blessed with great friendships. And there are friendships that have seasons. And sometimes those seasons have times on them.
Yeah.
But that's okay because God is faithful to bring new people, new friends. But you just pray and ask. And guess what? Sometimes they just stumble. It feels weird. Mm-hmm. But again, being friendly is a big component of that, right? Being friendly, being someone that's likable, right? If you're a jerk, if you're kind of, if you're short, if you're not, you know, you don't off-putting. Smile, you're off-putting, you're rude. You know, those are not gonna land you on the popular list. Again, not that we're trying to be popular, but you know, you got to put yourself out there,
right?
But yeah, does that answer the question?
I think that's great. Yeah, because I think I'm just thinking about, you know, people who are probably wondering how do I get consistent, or because, you know, some. It's very much like not in a bad way, but it can be monkey see, monkey do, you know? So if I get around someone that I know is going a certain direction that maybe I look towards or I am inspired by, then, hey, let me get around that person. So the question was more so for people like, how do I get around that person that I can trust and gain you know, all that good stuff out of it. But that's a good point. And I love how you just said straight up, it's like, this is not a tomorrow answer.
Yeah.
So,
and I do hear that, like, hey, man, I need Christian friends. I don't have Christian friends. Well, like, where are you going? What are you doing? Where are you surrounding yourself?
Yeah.
You're going to have to put yourself out there. If you really want it, you do have to put yourself out there, because especially in our day and age, especially in this time, people aren't exactly passing out friendship cards, right? Like, they're a little bit more apprehensive, a little bit less trusting. Now, does that mean that, man, that's where, again, prayer comes in. Like, God, send me somebody trustworthy.
Yeah.
And have it, like, you know what I need. But in the meantime, let Jesus be your friend and let him bring comfort.
That's so good.
And bring peace, and he'll give you that.
Yeah. I think about four things really quick, and we're wrapping up soon. But I think about, like, a good way to find out what's going on where you're at in life is ask yourself, who am I?
Yeah.
Where am I going? How do I get there? And who am I bringing with me?
That's good.
And I think those are really good indicators. So, okay, and sometimes, like you said earlier, an assessment, you got to take inventory. Okay, where am I at? Who am I? Who is me again? You know, to find yourself. Okay, where am I going? Where are the things that I know I want to go and get to with God or with this business venture, whatever the case may be, relationships. And okay, who's going to go with me? Right. I forgot the other one I mentioned. Who am I? Where am I going? How are we getting there? Who am I taking with me? And I think those are just really good things to say, okay, let me get consistent. And at the same time, not just for us, not for just selfish ambition or me only, but it's like, hey, if you're trying to get better at one thing, hey, who can you, like, pour that into next, you know, replicate and duplicate that. So now for the next person, you know, it's been said like this here, like, we see other people do their part so we could do our part. And that's, like, really the benefit of the body of Christ, that people have laid foundation for us. So now we can step into that and then bring someone alongside of that. And that's how I think consistency is also built and framed, is when we not only do it for us, but those behind us.
Oh, that's so good, man. Yeah. Well, I appreciate your time, Aaron. That's chatting. I think it's a great conversation. Our prayer is that you do find some consistency, and maybe you've identified throughout the conversation that you're not as consistent as you like to be. Well, you can always start, or maybe you find out, like, hey, I'm going forward. I don't know. Cause I think people get discouraged cause they're not always like, hey man, I'm not, you know, running this, like, thing as I'd like to be. Hey, well, you're inching forward. You're on it. You're being consistent. You've been walking with the Lord now for 6 months, for a year, man, keep going. 20 years, keep 30 going. Years. We love you. We're praying for you. Real quick, we're cheering for you.
Can we pray for them right now?
Absolutely. Let's pray.
Bless them.
Well, Heavenly Father, we come before you, Jesus. And Lord, we ask, Lord God, that you would just provide, Lord, and meet the needs of all those listening, watching, Father God, whether it's godly relationships, Lord, keep and sustain them until you open up an opportunity, a door for a godly relationship, a friendship, Lord, relationships that would encourage them and edify them and build them up, Lord God. You challenge us to get with the body, to get with the ecclesia, to get in the gathering, Jesus. And Lord, that iron sharpens iron, and that a friend sticks closer than a brother, Lord God. We see all kind of passages that show us the truth and the promises that are beautiful when it comes to our godly relationships. And Jesus, I pray that there would be a lift of any weariness,
Lord,
that we wouldn't be weary in doing good, Lord, that we would continue to move forward. We would keep our eyes on the prize, which is you, your love, your peace, your comfort that only you can offer, Lord God, a peace that surpasses understanding, a rest that is a godly rest. So we thank you, Jesus. We pray for each person listening today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
God bless you guys. We love you. We'll see you next time.